Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We have to get to the bottom of the Cavs, at least as of right now, bottom. And to go ahead and do so, we welcome on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline of The Athletic. We'll see if I can get to him here without stuttering all the way through it. It's Joe Vardon. Joe, save the show.
I'm here. Let's go.
Let's do this. So I guess we'll start at the beginning. That seems like it makes sense. Why have the Cavs gone from up 2-0 to this series being tied at twos?
Well, technically speaking, they cannot shoot. They are being shoved around both ends. They have no adjustments to make, really. They haven't made one, really. You know, they did something for a half that was pretty good on Saturday, but got pushed right off of it. So those are the technical things. You know, if you want to look deeper, think about more about what's going on, we are, you know, we've seen 9 playoff games from this team over 2 years. They're 3-6, and almost at no point, you know, when things get tough, do they respond? And so, you know, there's all this, like, hand-wringing over JB, the coach, and, you know, this and that. But at some point, the players have to do it. You know, like, Darius and Evan, they have to perform in the playoffs. They have to. And as I wrote, you know, Saturday into Sunday about Donovan, like, he's a major player, one of the best players in the NBA. But he has not been that in 9 games in the postseason here in Cleveland. He must be better. And then, you know, Max Strus and George Niang, like, they were brought here because they've been in a million playoff games. Max went to the finals last year. He was a starter for the finals team, like, played real minutes for those guys on the Heat. He's got to do it. Like, you could say all you want about adjustment this, scheme that, fine. You know, this team won 51 games last year, 48 this year. So it's not that the players stink. There's some level where they have to come and put this together.
So in terms of this team, let's not, like, focus in on individuals. I mean, you can actually if you want to, but if they lose this series, is this thing, like, everything getting broken up? Is that too early, too premature to have that conversation?
Well, I think we need to say, first and foremost, that is Dan Gilbert's decision. And I know I'm not talking to Dan. And I know virtually no other people who have my job are. That's ultimately his call. And then he would decide if the front office stays. And then from there, you know, the front office has all kinds of decisions to make. I think it is fair to say, and it's obvious, that JB is on the line. And you know, no chance of hanging on if they don't win this series. But then, yeah, like, there are player decisions that have to come, because, you know, whoever's in charge, you know, like, assume for the sake of argument that the front office remains the same. they have to decide why this team didn't work when it mattered most, because that would have been the verdict, right, with two first round exits. So was it purely coaching? I don't think that's entirely fair. Is it the, you know, having Jarrett and Allen, or Jarrett and Mobley, paired together in this era where one of the bigs has to shoot? And so does that need to be changed? The Donovan Darius pairing, you know, is Darius simply like he can't play that second fiddle role, but then give enough that for what he's asked to do, like in the fourth quarter, like because he's deferring so much, like, is Donovan worth the $50 million a year? Like, could they get a big haul for him? Like, those are the questions that they have to ask, that must be asked if this collapse, is what I'm calling it, continues.
Joe, let's go all the way back to the Dewey Slopes of last summer. The Cavs got embarrassed by the Knicks, and they said, we got to run it back. We got to see what this team does together as currently constructed one more time. So JB's keeping his job. We're not breaking up the guards. We're not choosing between the bigs. We're going to sign Strus, Niang, Merrill, and that's going to be kind of the way we handle this. They also declined to make a move at the deadline. There was a moment where it looked like JB could be in play in December. I'm just, if we go all the way back to last year and fast forward through those next 12 months, could this have been avoided with any move other than what they made, which was, I think, the safer route?
Well, yes. I mean, you asked me, could it have been? And the answer is yes. Like, they, like, was a coaching decision. And, you know, and to be certainly fair to JB, which I really want to do, think about Milwaukee now. You know, they did make the move. They fired a championship coach because they lost in the first round last year, and they are about to go out again, two coaches later. You know, so I am not suggesting that moving on from JV would have been the correct decision, but this was something they were considering. You know, it was a question after what happened in last April, and then, you know, there was just this uneasiness, and there was like sort of a disconnect in the fall, in the early part of the season, you know, between JB and some of the players, and just like some questioning and some not on the same page, you know, and kind of a what is going on here? Like, is he going to make it? Like, that was really strong, you know. And then, like, to your point, in December, Darius and Evan go out, and you think, okay, that's the end of this team. And you didn't even know how that would impact JB, because then it's like, well, you kept him this long. Are you going to fire him with two of the best players out? And the last thing anybody saw coming is what happened. The team turned into the best team in the NBA for 2 months. It was crazy. You know, like, so JB's hot, riding high. He's got these guys bombing threes and playing defense, and they're beating all these teams. And then slowly, as the stars came back, and then we got to the All-Star break, and the Cavs are still, you know, second place in the East and looking good. And then it just slowly started to falter again. And now we're back in that spot where, what's going on with Donovan? What's going on with JB? You've got players questioning the strategy after these games. You know, questioning what happened on the last day of the regular season. Like, this is stuff that we were kind of feeling in October, November, and now it's back at the worst time. So could that have been avoided? Sure. But, you know, we have to also look at Milwaukee to say that firing coaches isn't always the elixir.
Joe, do you think this series is officially over at this point? I mean, it's 2-2, so obviously anything can happen, and the Cavs have a Game 5 here tomorrow night at home. But I don't know, man. I'm a diehard Cavs fan. I was thrilled when they were up 2-0. I thought the series was over then. But the way the Cavs have performed over the last couple of games, it's hard to think that they're going to win this series.
Yeah, Dustin, you know, the piece that I wrote after Game 4 saying if this collapse is completed, like they have to ask themselves if they need to trade Donovan, not because he won't resign, but because having him on the team didn't work. But in that story, I said, I'm trying not to be a prisoner of the 61-point deficit they posted over these last two games. I'm trying not to because it is a 2-2 series. The Cavs are at home in games 5 and 7. They do not have to win on the road. And for as well as the Magic played at Kia Center in games 3 and 4, they weren't great up here. So it's like, is this series over? No. But, you know, I was talking to Keith off air. Like, I've been covering the playoffs, whether it's in Cleveland or nationally, for 10 consecutive years. So there's almost nothing that I haven't seen. And I have seen teams go up 2-0 and then lose the next two. You have a 2-2 series. Now it's best of three. What I am not used to is the series that starts out like kind of like the rock throwing contest that we saw games 1 and 2, you know, Cavs win comfortably but ugly, and then get embarrassed like they did in 3 and 4. If you even go back to that one Raptors series where the Cavs destroyed Toronto here twice and then went up to Toronto and almost inexplicably lost those next two games. Like, it was a 2-2 series, but all you had to do is rub the mist out of your eyes to see that the Cavs were going to be all right. This, you know, games 1 and 2, like, you felt okay because the Cavs seemed to be playing decent defense. But what you saw in games 3 and 4, like, you're wondering, yeah, like, what changes? Like, you can't imagine Orlando regressing from where it was on Saturday all the way back to the game 1 Magic that we saw. So is the series over? No. But the Cavs have to change something. They have to change something. They have to either shoot better as a team. They have to get more from Max and George. Donovan needs to be a superstar. Or Darius needs to be, you know, a 20-plus point-per-game scorer. Like, one of those things has to change for the Cavs to get back in the series.
Joe Varden on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So, a lot of this just doesn't add up to me. You know, like, there were points last year where Darius and Donovan, it's never been a flawless thing between the two of them, but you could see chemistry developing. This year it looks like that chemistry is non-existent. And there are times where I wonder if, and it's not just about the two guards, but it's about the starters, the best players, where I wonder if they feel comfortable playing together or even like playing together. So I'll ask you, is the culprit here more likely to be this is JB versus a team not responding to him? Or could this also be relationships between those players not having progressed the way they need to?
Yeah, I think there is something to all of that. You know, there's like these weird, there are these weird things that have gone on. Like, the two best games that Donovan Mitchell has had as a Cavalier both happened to occur when Darius wasn't on the floor. They went on that 2-month run when Darius and Evan were mostly out. But then at the same time, Darius was a legit all-star, leading the team in points and assists before Donovan got here. And then read the quotes to my story in my story today from Darius talking to me. Donovan's really been holding it down. When he gets tired, I try to turn up my aggressiveness. When he's not in the game and we need scoring, that's when I look to play. You know, I can do it. But, you know, the past couple years, you know, especially at this time of the playoffs, you know, and then he said he's talking about like a good shot versus a great shot. But what he's saying is the last couple years I have deferred. So I think he wants that to be known, that like he has changed his game to try to accommodate Donovan. It is on the brink. This is all on the brink because say what you will about a long runway, like the amount of money that this team is going to cost, you can't go out in the first round twice as a four seed, to say nothing of the second half falters that they've had the last couple years, which has happened a bunch too. You just can't do that with this kind of money on the line. So, you know, if they want to stick together, they got to come out and play on tomorrow night.
So let's play this to no matter whether it's based on the outcome of this series or the next series, let's go to that. The thing that I think a lot of people don't want to see, which is Donovan gets traded again, is if you don't make it past the first round two straight years with Donovan and you gave up every asset imaginable to get Donovan, even regardless of what you get for Donovan in another trade, would the Donovan trade be deemed a failure because of the lack of playoff success?
So I think by the public at large, the answer is yes. What's crazy is for like as critical as I have been over the last few days about some of this stuff, I will always insist that the trade was worth it. I love it when teams take swings, you know, shoot your shot. Rebuilding is boring. This team not very long ago was the worst team in the NBA over a 3-year stretch. And to watch what we've seen over the last, you know, and just on given nights in the regular season, like that's been a lot more fun. So I appreciate them for doing that. And then also, if you trade Donovan, you're going to get back a decent haul. You know, like, I mean, these are hypotheticals, but like trade him to Miami and you get Tyler Hero, who, you know, he's got a lot of injuries, but when he's healthy, he's a dynamic scorer. And you also get, Jaime Jaquez, who is awesome and a rookie and tough. You know, I love that. Or, you know, maybe the Lakers send over Reeves and Hachimura, which is something they don't have right now. And then maybe you get a really good pick there too. Like, you know, I don't know what the final trades look like, but you will get something decent. And then the third thing is like, I was never enamored with Lauri Markkanen. I think Colin needed a change of scenery. And yes, I get it, like the picks, but I don't know where those picks would have been, because guess what? The Cavs were already like playing-ish, you know, bottom half of the Eastern Conference, like playoff bracket type team. Like they probably weren't a lottery team. So the draft picks like that we're, you know, losing our minds over, like this is not the NFL, folks. Like this is like you're drafting, you know, when you're drafting that far back in the draft, like these might not be guys that make a big difference. So I disagree with the general public sense that this trade, the Donovan trade, was about to be a failure. I think it was worth it no matter what. And then I just think either he's going to sign that extension and they make some changes around him, or the Cavs proactively move him to get a really nice haul in return. I think those are the two options.
Joe, great stuff, buddy. I've got a couple trades on the trade machine I'd like to vet by you. You'll get those in your DM shortly. But we appreciate your time, man. Enjoy the rest of the series.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, too. Talk to you later.
Joe Varden there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You've talked about it on air, off air. How awful are these day NBA games right now?
Just atrocious. You know, I guess I get it sort of on the weekends. No, actually, I don't.
No, I don't. Listen, it's a hard enough sell to get Vanessa to be cool with me being home at 1 o'clock on a Sunday or a Saturday to watch the NFL. When this is something like this, they're really very rarely ever 1 p.m. tips in the regular season. Not only is it a tough sell for her, it's a tough sell for me. It's a beautiful weekend. I wanted to be outside, like, enjoying the weather and playing softball with my kids and, you know, grilling. I did not want to be watching some sad-ass basketball.
It was bad.
And it didn't help that the Cavs then, you know, blew a 9-point lead at halftime and got blown out for the second straight game. And we just had Joe Vardon of The Athletic on. And here's some of what he had to say about the Cavs in this series, where the blame falls and moving forward.
We've seen 9 playoff games from this team over 2 years. They're 3-6, and almost at no point when things get tough do they respond. At some point, the players have to do it. Darius and Evan, they have to perform in the playoffs. They have to. And Donovan, like, he's a major player, one of the best players in the NBA. But he has not been that in 9 games in the postseason here in Cleveland. He must be better. You could say all you want about adjustment this, scheme that, fine. But this team won 51 games last year, 48 this year. So it's not that the players stink. There's some level where they have to come and put this together. It is on the brink. This is all on the brink because say what you will about a long runway, like the amount of money that this team is going to cost. You can't go out in the first round twice as a 4 seed, to say nothing of the second half falters that they've had the last couple years, which has happened a bunch too. You just can't do that with this kind of money on the line. So if they want to stick together, they got to come out and play tomorrow night.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I think that's a great... That last point is really, really important. If the Cavs come out tomorrow at home and show a lack of heart, get punched in the mouth, and lay down, it will be telling to you and me and everybody else in Cleveland that they don't want to be together and they do not want to play for each other.
I think it's a great point, Nick. They've got everything working for them now. They're coming home. They won their first 2 home games on their court. It happens when you go on the road in the playoffs in a 7-game series and you're supposed to hold home court. Like, you only got to win 1 road game to win a series.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they are right there, you know, win game 5 and you're guaranteed a home game to close it out.
I'll tell you right now, let's play this to one of the potential scenarios, whether it's in this series or not. If Donovan is playing in a different zip code next year, as soon as this summer, be prepared for the reports that come out that Darius and Donovan didn't like playing together. And I'm just ready for it because I don't, And here's the thing. I think for all the complaining we've done about Evan, I think the guard situation is why Evan hasn't taken a step forward. Because Evan should not be the guy that touches the ball last. Evan, I think, should have some of the offense running through him because right. he is a really damn good passer. And you just, I mean, at this point, they're when it comes to three-point shooting, they're trying to use him the way LeBron wanted to use Kevin Love for 4 years, which is, why don't you leak out to the three-point line and you'll get the ball, just go ahead and take that shot. It's like, involved as you get him in the offense, you're failing him. And so I think it's no longer a I don't think it's no longer a will they, won't they. I don't know who you pick. I don't know the value you get for who you pick to trade. You need to break up Darius and Donovan this offseason.
No doubt.
And that's on top of the coaching situation, which needs to be addressed. And I saw Terry Pluto write very similar things to what Joe had to say with us. You don't let the players off the hook here. Because they're either lying to themselves, they're lying to you, or quite frankly, they're just obtuse. Because you can't tell me that they're having fun and they enjoy playing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot, I'm not buying that. Because they don't play for each other. The second things get tough, they wilt. And this is not like, it's everything that has been said, well, it's all JB's fault. That's a gross oversimplification. He's not a good playoff coach. I felt that way coming off last year. But then again, can I blame an NBA head coach? Because the team who knows the playoffs, like, these guys know what it's going to take to win games because they have now won three games out of nine games they've played in the playoffs together. They know the price. They're not willing to pay it. So whether it's they don't like each other personally or whether it's just they don't like playing together because of stylistic overlap, it doesn't matter. It has not worked. It has not been – there's not been an environment, I think, that has fostered it working. It doesn't matter. It has not worked, and this cannot continue if they get bounced out in the rest of this series.
You know what also stinks, Nick?
What's
is that? The Cavs have played two games in Orlando on the road. And honestly, we haven't been able to break down either game. There's been nothing about the game specifically have we been able to come on the air and say, man, I'll tell you what, with 37 seconds, why did they take that timeout? Why didn't they take that timeout? Why didn't they run this? We haven't talked about one strategy, nothing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the best we got after the first two games was J.B. Bickerstaff was out coaching Jamal Mosley. We didn't really have any proof for it. He just won two games. Like, I'll be honest with you, I thought game four was a great moment for JB to prove to you that he can coach in the playoffs and help getting them righted. And I was ready to eat some crow through a half. And then, once again, things went sideways and nobody, and that's the problem. Like, and this is where, to me, leadership does bug me. It can't just be on JB. Somebody has to say, this is my team. I'm not getting blown out, no matter whether it's at home or not. Somebody has to say, Donovan has to say, Darius, I love you, man. Your shot's not falling right now. I'm going to go out there and do some Donovan Mitchell things. And it's not happening. And I don't know whether that's the coach telling the player, hey, we need to play team ball and kumbaya crap. I don't know if it's the players just not having the conversation. I just know there's something missing there, and that is unacceptable for the more talented team. For the better-seeded team to lose twice in a row and be on the precipice of a really uncomfortable situation if you lose tomorrow. 216-474-0092. But so I don't think it's just about JB. But that doesn't mean it's going to save JB. We were just talking with Joe Vardon earlier this hour about the state of the Cavaliers, and one of his old colleagues at Cleveland.com, Chris Fedor, was on the Wine and Gold Talk podcast and talked about the situation for the Cavs after two straight losses and the situation between the players and J.B. Bickerstaff.
players in the locker room after this game were basically saying, without actually saying, JB, you need to do something to create more quality looks for us on the offensive end of the floor. You need to do something to get our three-point attempts up higher. You need to do something that is going to make it so that offense is not a chore on us. Like, that's basically what the players were saying, without actually saying JB's name, without actually calling him out.
So when you see that, one, I guess, I feel like it feels like analysis by Chris instead of a report, but does this analysis that Chris has on this team the last two games, does this surprise you at all?
No, it does not.
Why not?
Well, I mean, like, the three-pointer stuff is fascinating to me because they're not getting open looks. They're not shooting enough. And especially when you got the Magic who are just chucking up everything, and they're making them. So we're at a bit of a disadvantage.
I mean, I think we're at this spot. So one, it doesn't surprise me when players turn on NBA coaches because that's how it goes, right? Like, Frank Vogel won an NBA championship with LeBron and AD. 2 years later, he was gone. And by the way, now they're turning on Darvin Ham. Like, I do think that there's a part here where I think the easiest thing that, and it's not just players. It's the first thing we do as mm-hmm. well. And in the case of JB, I soured on him last year in the playoffs, and I've been looking for something this whole time to believe something different. But like, they shot 17 threes in game four. 17 threes, and they made 23% of them. That's not okay. And so, like, when you start to look, okay, all right, is it just players turning on the coach, which this still might end up being, you're also looking for, is there any validity to this? And I can see if the Cavs feel like, I think the most important things that coaches do is engender belief in their team. And that is, they help foster good relationships between players, which is how you get chemistry, because you learn to trust each other. That's not all on JB. You've got veterans. This should be, your leadership should have done this as well. The other thing is, though, I think players need to feel like when the you-know-what hits the fan, that you've got to be, that you're going to have something for them to try. It doesn't mean it's going to work mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10. But you're going to have some sort of plan in place that will make them believe that winning is possible. Winning is about belief and confidence as much as it is about that and playing hard. And I don't see this. I think you could see a way, if you look at a team that when they get punched in the face collapses, I think you could see an avenue where maybe it makes sense that this team, as much as they might have their own interpersonal baggage, they also don't necessarily buy into what is being sold by their coach. And in today's day in NBA, that is a death knell for any coach, no matter what that coach has done in their career.
These players, like, in terms of the belief in the coach, I guess we'll find out a lot tomorrow night, right?
I don't think we should put it all on tomorrow night. I mean, granted, if they lose, that's a pretty clear sign they've laid down and this thing's over. I don't know that just winning in front of the home crowd is going to make you and me feel like all things are copacetic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, even winning the series, like, you should win the series. You still have home court advantage unless you lose tomorrow, or unless obviously you're losing in a hypothetical game 7. But like, you still have the advantages. Your roster is better. You will have the home court advantage tomorrow. So I still expect them to win, but I think there's almost more to be lost tomorrow for JB than gained. Because if you win, now it's, of course you should win. You should have won the other two games.
Right.
Or at least been competitive. You know, like, I don't know. I think it's fair, but JB's in a real no-win situation here unless this is the adversity they've been waiting to bring them together as a team. They win the next two games, and then they go give Boston hell. Even then, I mean, we got real questions here. And I didn't feel like down the stretch that JB talked like a coach that was getting his team ready for the playoffs. I didn't think they were reacting to what his words were. So his messaging and their actions didn't line up, even though some of their words did line up with what his were. Mm. That speaks to me. That spoke to me at the time. It speaks to me now of a team who they might not dislike JB, but I don't know they trust JB to help them win. And yeah, if you can't do that, it doesn't matter.
They're not playing for Belichick here. You know, they're not going to listen to every single thing their coach says and believe it to be the gospel.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of questions.
Well, and I'll just say this. I'm staying open that the Cavs should win this series. So at the very least, I believe they can win this series. I'm not going to give too much into, no matter how bad it's looked. I want to give the players and JB a chance to pull out this series, no matter how frustrating the last two games have been. That being said, if the Cavs, I'll be honest with you, I don't think the Cavs can win this series if they don't have buy-in on JB. I just don't. I think you're just prolonging the inevitable if you don't have buy-in from your players. And right now, and this
they're
is not...
They're not bought in.
It's not just the last two games. It's been the last 40 games I've watched of them. I don't see a team that either trust each other or, more importantly, trust their coach. And you don't have to be, like, you don't have to be the, you know, Tommy Tuffy over there. You don't have to be the guy that communicates through the message, communicates through the media. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be one style of a coach. But I don't know any coach that can survive the team has lost faith in you. I don't know any coach. I mean, maybe Spoelstra. Like, there was a moment in Miami where people thought Spoelstra lost the locker room. And then they went to Pat Riley and said, fire him. And Pat Riley said, I'll fire you first. And suddenly, he got the locker room back. That's not what JB... I don't think that's how this organization works.
I'm with you.
And so, yeah, I think it is something to watch. I think if they play lackadaisical again tomorrow, or if they don't give you four quarters of effort, I think that's a pretty clear sign that the players have moved on from JB, whether Kobe Altman or Dan Gilbert have as of yet.
I think it's done, man. I think it's already done.
I feel like even
if they win this series, because once they win the series, they're going to be into the Boston deal, and you know the good favor that you know Coach had with maybe the ownership group and general manager probably goes by the wayside if you get smoked by Boston in 4 or 5.
Yeah, I mean, it really does depend how the next three games in this series look. And if you started out that Boston series with fight, again, these are things that I think can reflect positively on JB. I just continue to look at the body of work as it's been the last couple months and wonder if that's what we should pay attention to instead of some optimistic hope that he's going to figure it out or that they're going to respond to him or that there's some angels in the outfield type moment where everybody rallies around each other and feel good vibes are in the air and good things happen. We're at the point where you like a team is who they tell you they are. When the definitive proof outside of the 20 game stretch, because you look outside that, they're a 500 team this year. And whether you believe that's more injuries than coaching or the players versus the coach, you're a 500 team without that 18-2 stretch.
Yep.
And now in the playoffs, you've gotten blown out twice by a team that is arguably the worst remaining team in the playoffs. I think that says a lot. 216-474-0092. Comparing it, or rather contrasting this Donovan situation here, can the Cavs... Actually, you know what? Do you guys think the Cavs players are turning on JB Bickerstaff?
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.